We're in the midst of a study titled, When the Money Runs Out, Hope and Help for the Financially Stressed. The booklet that is guiding us is by James Petty. I stopped in the midst of the first portion just because the discussion was so good last week, and we looked at one reason last week that God might give you a period of financial hardship. And the first reason that Petty suggested that we looked at is that financial hardship can be an opportunity to gain the true wealth of contentment. We'll go on from there to look secondly at economic hardship maybe an opportunity to examine what money means to you. You might think that's a kind of silly question, but I'm going to pose it to you. What does money mean to you? Just open that up. What does money mean to you?
It means to bring home the bacon.
Literally, in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, security. What else?
You can buy things with it.
Mm-hmm. There's a certain power or ability that money represents. You can buy things with money. Mm-hmm. Providing for emergencies. Providing for enjoyment. Bacon, if you enjoy bacon. Petty lists some of the worldly aspects, and some of these are, I would say, depending on how you look at them, they could be worldly or godly. That common values that Petty identifies, that money provides safety and security, that it provides validation in the competition of life. So, I'm doing better than the Joneses because I make more money. So, sense of competition. Providing power to control people and circumstances. You do what I say because I've got the money. When Boone Pickens speaks, I bet there are a bunch of people that jump because he controls their money. Money gives enjoyment, pleasure, and comfort. Money enables us to impress others with what we own, how we look. Enables us to please those that we care about by giving gifts or other things. Enables us to identify with a particular group. So a broad cross-section of ideas from, I would say, a worldly perspective, although safety and security are not bad. Food and shelter are good things. Enjoyment is God-given. But wealth as a means to these ends apart from God can very easily become an idolatrous use of that money, or an idolatrous thinking about that money and what it means to you. It could be that safety and security are, while they're good things in and of themselves, that you could make an idol out of that. And money can be your means to get that security that you want. And you can do that in a way that is devoid of looking to God for either provision or ultimately for your security. And some of these other ones are more obviously coming from a worldly perspective, and revealing of where our hearts are. in that light, it's important for you to take time in the midst of economic hardship to say, what is it that is motivating me right now? Are there stresses, frustrations, anger that are coming to the coming out of the woodwork, so to speak, that this financial hardship is illustrating or is highlighting the fact that, you know, I really do value security, and I really do think that money is what provides that for me. And I'm not crying out to God in the midst of this. So economic hardship can be an opportunity to examine what money means to you. Thirdly, it can be an opportunity for a new perspective on the purpose of money. So it may reveal where your heart lies, and it may also be that schooling that God has in mind for you. Going back to James chapter 1, it may be that trial or circumstance that God has designed to lead you to cry out to Him in a new way and recognize the place that money has, the right place that money has in your life. With that in mind, I have several verses that I'd like to hand out to be read. So I'm going to give these verses and ask for some people to look them up. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Sam? 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. Adam? Matthew 6, 24. Nathan? Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Rachel? Ephesians 4, 28. Meg? Good. Let's start with those. Let me start with 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10.
Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs.
Let's also hear 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 through 12.
Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need.
This builds a little bit on what we learned last week with the idea of contentment. And the first thing that we can say is to guard against making wealth the goal of your life. If you make wealth the goal of your life, there's a religious commitment that is being made there. Instead, we learn to be content with God, and then with that contentment to make use of the wealth, the physical blessings that He has given to us for a different purpose rather than just building up your own selfish empire. So first step is to not make the pursuit of wealth the goal in your life. And positively, these verses talk about aspiring to live a quiet life, to mind your own affairs, to work with your hands, and that it's God's purpose that you do this. So out of contentment, there's a work that God gives, labor, vocation that is there for us. And that labor is often connected to wealth. And we're going to look at some of these other verses to see about the purposes given for those. Actually, before I go on, let's also hear Matthew 6:24.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or man.
And that one especially identifies money as a competing god, and we don't set our aims on that. And Hebrews 13:5-6.
Let your conduct be without covetousness. What to be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do?
So we've talked mostly about the negatives there. Let me open it up to you and ask if, from your own reading of Scripture, if you can identify some of the positive uses and purpose for wealth. Why does God give us wealth?
For those in need.
Good, yeah. What else?
For us, with the opportunity to pursue an education, so that we can be helpful in our society as we're making a living for ourselves and our family, not just to make a living, but to also be helpful to society.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'll come back to that in just a minute, too.
Supply of the church, you know, the building or the rent.
He gives wealth to reward work.
Good. You've hit on several of those. Let me summarize them briefly here. Oh yeah, Bob.
I was going to make a comment. God gives us wealth. God gives us the opportunity for stewardship.
That's right. The idea of work and stewardship and contentment are all bound together in understanding that, as a follower of Christ, that all of this does belong to God, and that He has placed responsibilities in our hands to make wise decisions with. Let me summarize several of those purposes for money. One is to provide for yourself and for your family, to provide for dependents. In fact, I didn't give this verse to someone, but 1 Timothy 5:8 speaks about the shame that is on those who do not care for their own family and don't care for their own household. So one of the purposes is to provide for yourself, and labor is attached to that. We work in a stewardly fashion so as to be able to provide for ourselves. Another purpose for money is to give to God. If you'd like to read this on your own, you can look at Malachi chapter 3. A good portion of that chapter speaks about how people had come to love money so much that they were not giving to God. And Malachi says, or God says through Malachi, why are you robbing me by withholding the tithes and offerings? So God gives wealth for a purpose of giving back to God as part of our dependence in Him. And then to have something to give to him who has needs. And I kind of had in mind both what Sam and Liz said. There's the giving to our community through growth in vocation and development of vocation. Then there's the emergency need that I think, Sam, you had in mind, the one who has fallen into some hard times. That's where Ephesians 4:28 comes in. You might recognize this verse.
Yeah. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need.
Well, that was part of the passage from this morning. We replace stealing with generosity. And God has given wealth for this purpose, that we would be rich towards those around us. James 1 keeps coming up. James talks about those who are rich in the world's terms, and to use that in a way that is a blessing to others. Paul demonstrated this, and he demonstrated a contentment with his station of life. We looked at that from Philippians last week. But he also worked hard. He was a tent maker, not in the metaphorical sense of what we have today, tent making ministries, but literally he made tents and he supported himself through that tent making ministry. He could have been supported by the church, and makes that point very clear, but he chose to give this up and worked hard with his hands so that he would not be a burden to anyone else, but then so that he could give to the church and he could give to others. And if someone would look up Acts 20, verses 34 through 35, these will be the last verses we look at today. You get that, JD?
Yeah.
Acts 20, 34 through 35.
Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
You've probably heard that last phrase before. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And notice the context there. Paul describes he worked hard so that he could provide for himself and for those of his company, and for those that he describes as weak, those that are in financial need, the widow, the orphan, those that have come unto some financial tragedy. Next week we're going to look at some practical implications of this. As the books often do, they look at the biblical principles, and then we're going to apply them very directly, so you'll be prepared for that. Bring your checkbooks. I invite you to bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us. Thank you for the wealth that we have. God, we confess that we are often led astray by the deceitfulness of riches. I pray that you would preserve us from that. Instead, Lord, help us to understand the godly view of money and of wealth. Lord, make us a blessing as we provide for ourselves and our dependents. Make us a blessing to your kingdom as we give to you and to your work. Lord, make us a blessing to those who are in need around us. Bless us with a generous heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.